Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Spur of the Moment podcast. I'm your host, Shane Dagey.
And I'm the co-host, Drew Dagey. Welcome to episode 11 of this podcast.
Yes, sir. Episode 11. And we're coming off an overtime loss, 121-119, to the Brooklyn Nets, the second seed in the Eastern Conference, Brooklyn Nets. To get to even overtime with this roster, we're missing six players. Derek White, Devin Vassell, Doug McDermott, Keldon Johnson, Trey Jones, and Thaddeus Young. We're missing all those guys, and we still took the mighty Brooklyn Nets into overtime, coming short by 2 points, but what a great effort for the Spurs.
Yeah, it was a great effort of even taking it to overtime. We forced 21 turnovers in that game. We had a great performance, just missed a couple shots in overtime.
Yeah, a couple key shots, and just couldn't close the door. And, you know, to be a good team, you got to figure out a way to win games like that. And right now we're young and in the rebuild, and so that's just the way it is. I want to remind you, before we get into this episode, if you have email questions for us, you can always email us at spurspodcast99@gmail.com. That's spurspodcast99@gmail.com. And you can text us at 512-540-1626. Again, that's 512-540-1626. So if you have questions, we have our first one that we'll get to later in the show, but I just wanted to remind you of the ways to get on our podcast, and you know, we'll go from there. All right, so let's get back to this Brooklyn Nets game, Drew. Just watching the game flow, we'll get to top two, bottom two, and all that good stuff here shortly. Watching the game flow, what are your thoughts about the game? What did you notice throughout the course of the game?
Well, Lonnie Walker, who was phenomenal, season high for him. The game flow was good. We played good defense. Kevin Durant missed his last seven shots, I believe. Kate of HDOP was playing good defense on him. That was a good game flow.
Yes, sir, it was. And, you know, it was 113 to 1, I believe, 103. And we scored the last 10 points in regulation to send that thing to overtime. So whenever you do that, the Spurs, they really, you know, kept us in the game and kept a very competitive game with the Brooklyn Nets. So great outing. I mean, you have a couple Hall of Famers on that other roster with Kevin Durant and James Harden, and, you know, and just came up a little short, but I really like the way the Spurs battled in this one.
Yep, especially Josh Primo hitting that clutch three with about 50 seconds to go to tie the game up. It was a really huge shot from him.
Yeah, for sure. And at that point, he was 3 of 15 shooting. So to have that confidence as a 19-year-old Josh Primo to nail that shot to be able to send us to overtime, that was big, big time for Primo. So I really liked that outing. So we'll get to our top two, bottom two. I've got the top two today, and Drew's going to cover the bottom two today. My top two, I really thought, if you watch this game, Lonnie Walker had a really good game. He did a lot of acrobatic shots, hit a couple threes, I think three, he was 3 of 8 from the three-point line. Ended up 25 points for Lonnie Walker, and I think that's big, him having to step into that role without Derek White or Devin Vassell there, just as a running mate to DeJounte and Josh Primo. So I thought that was a big outing for Lonnie Walker. And, you know, he also chipped in 4 assists and 3 rebounds, but he was really aggressive to the basket, attacking the basket. So that's number one of our top two. The other one, which I've kind of been on, like I told you, shooters are streaky in episodes before, but Bryn Forbes tonight, 18 points. He was 3 of 5 from 3-point line, grabbed 3 more boards, had 5 assists, really just did a lot to keep the Spurs in the game. I really like Bryn Forbes outing tonight, and that's after I think he was a bottom two on my last two, our last two episodes, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so that's what shooters do, man. They'll go from the bottom to the top real quick, just depending on how their stroke is feeling. And great outing for Bryn Forbes coming off the bench tonight. So that's our top two. Drew's going to get to the bottom two, and then I'm going to have a couple observations as well.
So it was kind of tough to pick bottom two because I feel like we played pretty well as a team, but number one on my bottom two is going to be Tyler Johnson, scoring 3 points, 2-1 rebound, and 1 of 3 from the field, knocked down a 3. But he's number one on the list because it was pretty tough picking some. So my other one is going to be Kate Bates Diop, scoring 10 points, 6 rebounds, 5 of 9 from the field, but he turned the ball over 4 times, which really got him on this list in 37 minutes of play.
Yeah, so 4 turnovers is definitely the reason. He did some other things, but you can't turn the ball over 4 times. So there's our top two, bottom two. A couple other things I wanted to point out. This was the career high in minutes for Mr. Josh Primo. He had 39 minutes tonight, and I think that was a good game, good experience for the young 19-year-old against, like I said earlier, two Hall of Famers when you're talking about Harden and Durant. So that was a good outing for him. Another thing that I noticed tonight, Jakob Poeltl really did a good job grabbing rebounds. He had 11 points, 12 boards, but I thought he was aggressive underneath the boards and threw down a few more dunks. You can see Primo's dunk game rising. Who'd I say?
Primo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I moved over to Jakob Poeltl. Too much coffee this morning, I think. But Poeltl, sorry, has been dunking the ball a lot more. Thanks for the correction, Drew. Anybody else that you want to touch on this game that you noticed?
I want to talk about Jock Landale, who had 10 points, knocked down 2 threes in 17 minutes. He really showed that he deserves more minutes tonight. At the very end, made a good pass to Kate Bates Diop. Maybe a little too high for Bates Diop, but he showed that he had confidence.
Yeah, so Jock Landale, we're big Jock Landale fans, and I mean 17 minutes is good. I think he deserves more. I think he does a lot of good things. Even inbounding the ball after that Celtics game, he came back and threw up a pretty good alley-oop to Bates Diop at the end of regulation to try to get the win. Somebody else I want to point out too, and I talked about him a few episodes back, Devontae Kaycott. He had 8 points, 6 rebounds in 16 minutes, and I really like his athleticism off the bench. I think he's a good depth guy for us. I was not sad to see him get the minutes tonight over probably Drew Eubanks.
Drew
Eubanks had no minutes, but Kaycott had 2 blocks as well. That was just a good outing off the bench for him. He guarded KD for a little bit, so it was nice seeing some of the G Leaguers come in there and get some quality minutes. But while they're putting a Band-Aid on this deal, they're trying to get things going while they get some other guys off the health and safety protocols. I think we'll still be shorthanded tomorrow night against the Knicks, and then hopefully after that we can have some guys return for the homestand. All right, so that's our top two, bottom two for tonight's game. And just a recap, again, the Spurs dropping this one 121 to 119. That game took the Spurs out of the playoff picture tonight as we ride that seesaw in the playoff picture into the lottery picks, playoff picture, lottery picks. So, you know, that's a fine line right there where the Spurs are dancing on. But, I don't know. We're split as a fan base of, do we want to make the play-in game or do we want to get a good lottery pick? And this season's kind of that seesaw battle, I think, will go up all the way till the end. So we'll see how it goes. All right. Now for our This Date in Spurs History. Drew's got some info for us on this date, which we're talking right now, January 9th, 2021.
So on this date in Spurs history, I'm going to take you back 7 years on January 9th, 2015, where the San Antonio Spurs knocked off the Phoenix Suns 100-95, which was a tight game all the way through it. I want to talk about a couple players for the Spurs that I think did well. Danny Green, who had 20 points. He was 4-7 from the three-point line, shooting 57%. Patty Mills, 15 points. 3-5 from the three-point line. And then we have Tim Duncan, who had 12 points, 7 boards, 5 assists. I think this was his second to last year. And also, I think that's it for my people had to mention. Yeah.
Well, I also noticed that Tiago Splitter had 14 rebounds in that game on January 9th of 2015, which was – that was Splitter's game, man. Go in there and create some havoc in the post. But thank you, Drew, for that, for the this day in Spurs history, 2015. Was that right?
Yes, 2015, January 9th.
All right. So another W in the this day in Spurs history. We keep on dialing up the W's. That's nice to know. That's how you know you're in a great tradition-led basketball team. All right. So we're going to take it to the Q&A section. This is the questions that were emailed to us. The first one from Thomas in Alice, Texas is, do you think Popovich stays on next year? So we're going to discuss that. And Drew, your thoughts on Greg Popovich and his standing with the Spurs.
Well, I think he has. I think he does stay a couple more years, maybe three or four. I know it's we're going through a rebuild, and I think he likes that. I think he was proud of the way we played tonight. But I do think he has two or three more years left, and he never know. It's up to him, and we don't. As you know, Becky Hammett is out of the conversation. So yeah. What are your thoughts?
I think Popovich is, I think he's going to be as close to a lifer as an NBA coach as is in history. I used to think, well, he's going to, and then when he hits 70, he's going to be done, and then it crept up and everything. But he still has a lot of gas in the tank. He likes this young team. I think he likes being a part of this rebuild. And I think the Spurs are going to grant him that as long as he has a good support staff around him, which he does. We'll see what Becky Hammon's replacement is going to be on the bench for him. But, you know, it's really fun watching him do what he does. Popovich is obviously a legend with five championships, but calling up guys from the G League, having to deal with COVID stuff, I wouldn't want anybody else that doesn't have the long-time experience that Greg Popovich does leading this team. I mean, really, it takes a lot to keep that steady hand while you're getting new guys in from the G League and you got all these young guys in that are draft picks. So I think Popovich is going to be around for a while. And, you know, I think we can maybe rest that question at least for a few years. But I really, the more I think about it, I wouldn't be surprised seeing Greg Popovich get into Joe Paterno years and coach until he's 80s, in his 80s. I mean, I really look at him. I mean, he's still in good shape, good condition, and he's doing a great job with this young team. I know the wins and losses don't seem to add up, but they're competitive in a lot of games, a lot that may not be with another younger team like this. So that was the only email question we had, but please send more, and we'll definitely touch on that as the episodes roll on. All right, so now that takes us into the preview of the next game. Drew?
So we're facing off against the Knicks tomorrow. What time would that be? It would be at 6:30 p.m., 7:30 Eastern time. So the Knicks are 6-4 in their last 10, but their last game was a loss to the Celtics, 99-75. I have a couple guys to look out for. Julius Randle, who's averaging 19 points, 10 boards, and 5 assists. And then we have RJ Barrett, who's a good point guard, who's averaging 15 points and 5 boards. And Evan Fournier, who is listed as day-to-day and had a 41-point performance against the Celtics on Thursday night. Wow. Also, a couple guys, a guy that's out who was on a hot streak, but Kemba Walker is listed out on the injury report. So, yeah, that's a little bit about the Knicks.
All right. So, the Knicks are definitely, I know they're an aggressive defensive team. I know Mitchell Robinson in the paint is a pretty imposing post as well. He's 7 foot, 240, blocks a lot of shots. So it's definitely going to be a challenge for the Spurs. And then we have the Spurs' old nemesis of a back-to-back game.
Yeah.
You know, fortunately, this one was this morning. It was 11 a.m. Central Time. And so they'll be going right down to the other side of New York to go play the Knickerbockers, and we'll see how that one goes. And it's prediction time. Drew and I like to predict and kind of get a feel for what the next game is going to be like. I think definitely going to be a interesting challenge for the Spurs with the Knicks. We're still going to be missing a lot of guys as far as we know, unless somebody pops up and surprises us. But I doubt even with conditioning, I doubt they'll be back tomorrow. So my prediction for tomorrow night is I'm going to say
first name who you want to do, who's going to do good.
Oh, thank you for that. So the player that I think is going to go off tomorrow night for the Spurs, I think you're going to have Josh Primo. I think his shooting for tonight and all the minutes that he played, I mean, if there's anybody that can come on a back-to-back day from 39 minutes and then bounce back the next day, it's a 19-year-old. They got in. 19-year-olds have all kinds of energy. So I'm going to take Primo again. We love him. The fan base loves him. I'm hoping that he has the best game of his young NBA career tomorrow night. So that's my first pick, my player to go. And then I'm going to say tomorrow night, the resilience of the Spurs on this road trip, it's been a long one, and this is their last one before returning home on Wednesday. But I'm going to say the Spurs are going to squeeze this one out tomorrow night against the Knicks. I think they're going to win it by 3.
Mm-hmm. So my player to do good is going to be Jakob Poeltl, who I think is going to dominate in the paint against Mitchell Robinson. I think he'll have a good game. Coming off of a good game tonight, who was throwing down dunks. I heard that he had 11 dunks in his last 5 games, which is good to see. But my prediction for this Knicks and Spurs game is going to be, I think the Spurs are going to take down the Knicks by 6 points. I'll go with 6 points there tomorrow night.
All right. So Drew's doubling mine up. You know, if we can find a way to get this win, I'm just looking ahead at the schedule. We take the Spurs at the Knicks. The Knicks have a losing record. They're 19-21. Obviously, they're going to be tough to deal with. But we got a chance to go back to San Antonio and win a few games in a row. I mean, you've got the Rockets coming up on Wednesday. You've got the Cleveland Cavaliers coming up on Friday. You got the Clippers, who are minus Paul George, coming up on Saturday. And then you got a tough test that with the Suns, but in San Antonio. Then you come back with the Thunder, and then the Nets in San Antonio. I mean, you know, you're on a good run in San Antonio for a while after this long
road 7 trip. Game homestand.
Yeah, so that'll be a fun bounce back. See if the Spurs can climb. I think it's a good opportunity to get them in the playoff position again. So we'll see if we can get it started right against the New York Knicks tomorrow night. That's 6:30. Central Time, and we'll definitely be ready to roll with another episode. So that's our Knicks preview and taking you into the upcoming weeks. Thank you for joining us tonight on the Spur of the Moment podcast.
I'm Drew Dagey, and thank you for the support. And don't forget to send your messages and emails, and go Spurs, go!